Okay, good evening everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. So tonight's shiur is generously sponsored by Esther Klock, Lezecher Nishmas, her husband, Alav HaShalom, on the occasion of his 10th Yahrzeit, Ches Iyar, Leibish Ozer Ben Binyamin. May the Neshama have an aliyah in the Zchus of the Torah learning that we will share. Esther told me, he was niftar at such a young age. He was 61 years old. It was a Thursday evening. He was being mavir sedra while holding a chumash in his hands. He was the quintessential Talmud Chacham who tried to live his life being koveya itim b'Torah, which clearly relates to the topic under discussion last week, and we will continue it this week. In his younger years, he worked and learned, but the last 10 years of his life, he would learn as much as possible and work less. He passed on to his sons the great love for learning. He also was very strong in his belief in Chavrusa. He learned together with the same person for many, many years. May this shir be a zchus aliyah neshama for Leibish Ozer Ben Binyamin, Alav HaShalom, on the occasion of his 10th Yahrzeit, Ches Iyar. As you will see, tonight's shir is very much related to his life. The life that Esther's husband lived, because we are going to continue the topic that we began last week with new and further insights. We are still in the Mishnah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tesvav. Someone, by the way, told me that for the first time, because of last week's shiur last Thursday night, for the first time, she said Perek Aleph slash Shabbos afternoon by Mincha. So, Baruch Hashem, perhaps others will take it upon themselves as well. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tesvav, Shammai Omer, we're still in the same Mishnah. Asei so rascha keva, make your Torah learning permanent. And last week we spoke so much about prioritizing who we are and what do we do. And is our occupation primary? Is our Torah and mitzvot primary? And mor ma'at va'asei harbe, you should speak a little and you shall do a lot. V'hevi mekabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos, and you shall greet every person with a pleasant countenance. I see my mother-in-law is here. I'm sorry I didn't welcome you before. Good evening, Ima. Thank you for joining our shir tonight. So before we continue with Rabbi Dr. Tversky on the Mishnah, it just so happens to be, and I put that in quotes, that I was going through this book, Honor Them, Revere Them. It's a sefer on Kibbud Av'eim, which I finished learning through this week. It took me a few months because learning many things simultaneously. But I was reviewing my notes on the sefer, and I saw a teaching that relates exactly to our idea of Asei Torah Chakeva, make your Torah learning permanent, as we explained it last week, according to Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky. So this is a sefer, Honor Them, Revere Them, on Kibbud Av'eim, by Rabbi Shimon Finkelman and Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein. So I'm now going to quote from the sefer. Excuse me, Tana Deve Eliyahu states, whoever seeks for himself successful days and years, honor and long life, should fulfill the will of his Father in heaven and the will of his father and mother. So whoever wants Arichus Yamim Menshanim, whoever wants a long life and whoever wants success, should fulfill the will of Avinu Shabashamayim, our Father in heaven, and also the will of his father and mother down here. Therefore, the Torah states, remember the Shabbos day to keep it holy, and immediately that is followed by Kabed Savicha Ves Imecha. Okay, so in other words, remember the Shabbos day, that's honoring God. Kabedes avicha vesimecha, honoring your parents. And this idea together, this idea of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam and serving your parents will bring a person long life. Okay. The Sefer now continues, quoting from Seder Hadoros, with the following story. It was revealed to Rabbi Yeshua ben Elim in a dream. So this great Torah scholar, this great rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Elam, he had a dream. Rejoice in your heart, for you and Nanas the butcher will reside near each other in Gan Eden. Your portion is like the portion of Nanas the butcher. When Rabbi Yeshua ben Elam woke up, he was very agitated. Woe is to me. From the day of my birth, I have always been preoccupied with awe of my Creator. I toiled only in Torah. I did not walk four amos without tzitzis and tefillin. I had 80 talmidim. My actions are equal to the actions of Nanas the butcher. He sent a word to his talmidim, and he said, I will not enter the base medrash until I see who this man is and what his activities are and why I am going to be next to him in Gan Eden. His talmidim trekked from city to city. And so, you know, today you could post on WhatsApp or social networking looking for Nanas the butcher, and he would probably have him within 5 minutes, even if he lived around the world. In those days, they trekked from city to city and town to town until they came to the place where Nanas the butcher lived. When Rabbi Yeshua entered the city, he said, where is Nanas the butcher? And he was told, why do you seek him out? You are a tzaddik. You are exceedingly pious. You want to meet the butcher? Rabbi Yeshua said, what is he busy with himself with? And they replied, our master, don't inquire about him until you meet him. So they sent a message to Nanas, the butcher. Rabbi Yeshua ben Elam wants to meet you. Nanas replied, who am I that Rabbi Yeshua is inquiring about me? Just come with us, they said. Nanas thought they were lying. Reminds me of a story because my mind is on Yom Zikun Yom Ha'atzmaut when they called Miriam Peretz to tell her she was lighting the torch that year on Har Herzl. She thought that they were joking. They said, we're calling from the prime minister's office. It's brought down in her book, which I quoted from this morning in my share. We're calling from the prime minister's office. You've been invited to light a torch on the official state ceremony, Har Herzl. And she thought it was a joke. She thought that it was a prank call. So lahavdil. Okay, here we're quoting a story from Chazal, but Nanas thought they were lying, and he said, I will not go with you, you are playing games with me. They returned to Rabbi Yeshua, and you said, you're the light of Israel, you're the light of our faces, you're the crown, that crown of our head, you're a Torah scholar, he does not want to accompany us. Rabbi Yeshua said, I will not rest until I meet Nanas the butcher. He went to Nanas. What has happened today that the crown of our heads has come to this servant? Rabbi Yeshua said, I have to discuss something with you. What are your deeds and what is your occupation? Remember last week, the woman went to the Shiva house of her neighbor and she said, what did your father do? And the neighbor said, what did he do? He woke up every morning and went to Nate's at Dakota. And she came home and she said, you know, the father was a shoemaker. The father had a shoe store. So Rabbi Yeshua said to Nanas, what are your deeds and what is your occupation? Nanas said, my master, I'm a butcher. I have an elderly father and mother who are not able to care for themselves. Every day I dress them, I feed them, I bathe them with my own hands. Rabbi Yeshua immediately understood why his portion was next to Nanas the butcher in the Gan Eden. My son, he said, he kissed Nanas and he said, praiseworthy are you and praiseworthy is your lot. How good, how wonderful. Praiseworthy is my lot that I will be with you in Gan Eden. This is really organized according to a lesson a day. So that's lesson 17. But lesson 18 continues with this idea. And you will hear how related and relevant it is to our share of last week. And also to the Yahrzeit dedication of tonight. And the idea of Bikoveya Itim. And what is a person's priority. In recounting the story, Rabbi Finkelman continues with Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein. In recounting the story of Rabbi Yeshua ben Elam and Nanas the butcher, Rabbi Yaakov Zev Smith reflects, when Rabbi Yeshua ben Elam met Nanas, he said, Mama Asecha u'mamalach techa. What is your deeds? What are you occupied with? And what is your work? From his dream, Rabbi Yeshua knew there was something very special about the butcher. He wanted to know, Nanas, why will I be next to you? You're a butcher. I'm a Talmud Chacham and a Rebbe of Torah. Why will we be next to each other in Gan Eden? And Nanas replied, he cared for his elderly parents. Now, if Kibbud Avaim was a special zchus that placed him on par with Rabbi Yeshua ben Elim, we would think his Kibbud Avaim may have been incredible, something unusual. But that was not the case. Nanas said, I have an elderly father and mother. Every day I dress them, I feed them, I bathe them with my own hands. In other words, Nanas was doing what is required of every child vis-a-vis his parents. What is kibbud? Chazal say feeding, providing drink, dressing, putting on shoes. So for doing the bare minimum of the mitzvah, he was equated with the level of the gadol hador. Is this really so? Does the mitzvah of kibbud avim, according to the halacha, place one on the level of the gadol hador? What's the godless of this story? This can be explained by Nanas' answer. Rabbi Yeshua said, Mama Asecha u'mamalach techa. What are your deeds and what is your occupation? If someone were to ask this question to the average person, he would most likely respond, I have a dry goods store. I am an accountant. I have a shoe store. I learn in kolal. Nanas defined himself according to the mitzvos he did. It wasn't just the mitzvah of Kibbud Avim, it was his whole life outlook. Mamalach techa, and this is exactly what we spoke about last week. You have to prioritize what is first on your schedule, what's your framework. In Sefer Yonah, the sailors confronted Yonah HaNavi. The ship was tossing and turning and it was stormy. And they say to him, Mamalach techa, what is your work? What is your occupation? And Yonah says, Es Hashem Elokei HaShamayim Ani Yareh. What's your job? And he says, oh, you know my job? I'm God-fearing. That's my job. Asher asos hayam ve'es hayabasha. What's your job? I'm a God-fearing person. That's not a job. But it's your occupation if your whole life is seen through the lens of asei torascha keva. Yonah's occupation was serving Hashem. That was the focus of his life. Paul Spodek, I don't remember what you sent me last week from Covey exactly, but if you remember, could you post it on the chat because it was really good. It's not about prioritizing your schedule. It's about scheduling your priorities, right? Oh, Stephen Covey. It's and Paul sent it to me with the subject line being Asei Torascha Keva, 4 exclamation marks right after our shir. I guess she came across it. It's not about scheduling your priorities. Did I say it right? It's about prioritizing. I said it backwards. Backwards? It's not about prioritizing your schedule. It's about scheduling your priorities. That, according to Rabbi Dr. Twersky, is that the definition of Asei Torascha Keva. And I was very taken, I must tell you, and Esther Klock texted me about her husband, Olav Shalom. He was Nifter on a Thursday evening, Erev Shabbos, while he was in the middle of learning Chumash, Parsha of the Week. When a person ascends to the Olam HaEmes, what do they take with them in their hands? Whatever your occupation is. Mamalach Tacha. And Yonah said, oh, you know what my work is? I'm God-fearing. That's not work. Nanas the butcher, what's your job? I take care of my elderly parents. You're going to be next to the Gadol HaDor and Shamayim because you know how to prioritize your schedule. Nanas mentioned that he was a butcher. But most of the answer, first he said, I'm a butcher, but then he said, I have elderly parents who are unable to take care of themselves. I feed them, I dress them, I bathe them every day with my own hands. You want to know what my real occupation is? I take care of my parents. That was his occupation. That was his concern. That's Asei Torascha Keva. What made Nana so great was his attitude and his devotion to the mitzvah. Wherever he was and whatever he was doing, his mind was never diverted from his primary calling. In that case, caring for his parents. So that is how Rabbi Dr. Tursky defines Asei Torascha Keva. So I know we spoke about it last week already, but when I was reviewing my notes on honor them, revere them, and I came across these two pages, it's exactly further illustration and stories from Chazal of exactly what we learned last week. So that was more on Asei Torascha Keva and clearly very much related to the yurt site that we are dedicating Shir to this evening as well. Now we move on. So Shammai Omer, Shammai says, Asei Torascha Keva, make your Torah learning permanent, and more ma'at, speak a little, va'asei harbe, and do a lot, ve'heve mekabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos, and you should greet every person with a pleasant countenance. So I go back to explaining this Mishnah with the teachings of Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky Zatzal. Amar ma'at, speak little, va'asei harbe, and do a lot. Rabbi Dr. Twersky speaks of Rabbi Moshe Schreiber, the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer would spend a considerable amount of time with tefillah, davening. We would dedicate a lot of time to tefillah. So someone asked him, wouldn't it be better to spend less time in prayer, and then you will have more time for Torah study? Rabbi Schreiber, the Chassam Sofer, replied, the Gemara states, if one davens for a long time, they are rewarded with long life. Therefore, by adding years to my life, with long prayer, I add years to my life, I will have more time, when I'm granted longer life, to learn. It is written that each person is given an allotted number of words to speak during his lifetime. I've heard this said before. It's interesting to see Rabbi Dr. Twersky write it and actually bring it down. Every person has a certain number of words that they can speak. Hashem gives us each a number of words that we could speak. And when those are exhausted, his life ends. Hence, amar ma'at, if we speak less, we will live longer. And therefore, va'asei harbe, we will have a greater opportunity to do more mitzvos and more good deeds. If you speak little, you will have time to do more. So two pshatim here, Rabbi Dr. Twersky into Amar Ma'avarsei Harbe. One is the Chassam Sofer would daven for a long time. He would say, by davening for a long time, I am fulfilling the dictum of the sages. If you spend a long time in tefillah, your life will be lengthened. If my life is lengthened because I spend a long time davening, I will have more time for Torah learning. Second of all, amar ma'at, speak less because save up your words. We all have X amount of words. Of course, it relates to this week's parashos of Tazria and Metzora. Double Parshio, the main cause of Tzara'as is the spiritual illness of Lashon Hara. The person wastes his words. So what do? We put him outside the camp. There's no one to talk to. Badad Yeshev, Michutz Mechana Moshevah, you talk too much. You used up so many words with your evil speech. So what do to you? We put you outside the camp where you have no one to talk to. He sits there all by himself. He can't even be with the other people who are Tamei Rash. He has to sit totally badad, totally alone. Now there's no one to talk to. Now you will save your words. And more ma'ad, if you speak little, you will have longer life. Therefore, you'll be able to va'ase harbe, do more. I mean, Dr. Twersky focused very, very much on self-esteem, which is very much apparent from his writings and his teachings and his work. And here he touches upon the idea of self-esteem as it relates to Amar Ma'at Ba'aseh Harbe. In stressing the importance of self-esteem, I am quoting from the book, Rabbi Dr. Twersky, I've tried to distinguish between self-esteem, and this is crucial, and gaiva, vanity. I've heard Rabbi Zev Lef speak about this multiple times in Shiram. Gaiva, says Rabbi Lef, is I am important. Period. Self-esteem is, I am important because Hashem made me important. It's a very big difference. Every Jew, every person is important or we wouldn't be here. God deemed that necessary for us to be in this world. But what is our attitude? I'm important because I'm important, period. Self-made, they say about people that are self-made. What does self-made mean? Or I'm important, says Rabbi Zev Lef, that's healthy self-esteem because Hashem made me important. So in stressing the importance of self-esteem, I have tried to distinguish between self-esteem and gaiva, vanity. Self-esteem consists of an awareness, what's self-esteem? Of one's strengths and talents. You should be aware of what you can do. You should be aware of what you're good at. We shouldn't look at ourselves as a shmata. That's not what Hashem wants. That's not how I serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the words of Rabbi Zev Lef, what are your talents, abilities, and capabilities? Now you acknowledge that they came to you from God, but you should know what you're good at. And you should use what you're good at to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, your family, your community, and Klal Yisrael. Self-esteem means an awareness of one's strengths and talents. Gaiva is an attitude of superiority over others. So this is brought down in this Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Dr. Twersky. It's called Visions of the Fathers. And I saw such a beautiful line. I don't know if anybody read on the Pesach Mishpacha, the beautiful article on Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. There was so much to read in the almost 600 pages of the Pesach Mishpacha. But there was a Geshmak aura in there. And I've thought of it every day since I read it. It's about Ashrei. In Ashrei, which is chapter 145 of Tehillim, we say, Lehodia livnei ha'adam gvurasav uchavar hadar machusav. The Pasuk of Lamed. What does lehodia livnei ha'adam gvurasav mean? Well, you can't answer me because you're all on mute, but lehodia livnei ha'adam gvurasav, according to the pshat, is lehodia livnei adam, to let the sons of man know, gvurasav, who's gvura, whose strength, whose greatness? God's, that's the pshat. To make it known to man how great God is. Ukivor hadar machuso, and the glory and the honor of his kingdom. Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, it's such in line with his line of thinking. The reason that people fail in life is because we lack self-esteem. Lahodia livnei ha'adam gvurasav. It's geshmak. If you came to this year for that alone, it was dayenu. Let man know their own strengths. Let it be known to man gvurasav, his, man's. What is his courage? What is his strength? What is he good at? Inculcate in your children, in your grandchildren, perhaps in your great-grandchildren. What are they good at? What do they shine at? What are they successful in? I was listening to an interesting podcast. Usually I don't listen to podcasts. Usually I listen to Shiurim on my rocks. But the other week I was listening to a certain podcast with a person who left the Hasidish community and is no longer associated or religious. Well-known author of a famous book. And he was talking to the interviewer. And a lot of people who are struggling in the community come to him. And he was talking about this one musician who came to him who left the Orthodox community. He's a very successful musician. When he was a child, he was not strong in Gemara with Rashi. It wasn't his forte. He wasn't good in learning. And the way that the system is set up is that it's very hard for those who do not necessarily excel in the realm of Gemara with Rashi in certain institutions to be successful. And he was always put down by his Rebbeim because he couldn't learn Gemara with Rashi, Gemara with Mashi, Gemara with Rashi. I'm not saying we shouldn't strive to do such a thing, but some people are not cut out for it. But he was very good in music, even as a child. And no one ever said to him, you know, you're not good at Gemara with Rashi, but you're great in music. Let's do something else, the school choir, the Hanukkah play, entertain us in a different way. And ultimately he left. He left the community and he is a very successful secular musician today. Lahodia Livnei Adam Gvurasav. Wow. If you came to shir for this, I haven't told it over, I read on Pesach. And I never know what I read and what I learn, what shiurim it's going to come out in. Last night I spoke all about Gilgulim. I had no idea I was going to be talking about Gilgulim. But you never know which shiur it's going to come out in. But when I read this about Rabbi Dr. Twersky, he's going to relate it to Amor Ma'at Vasei Harbei momentarily. And he distinguishes between healthy self-esteem, which is necessary for every person to be successful in life. Healthy self-esteem versus gaiva. Gaiva is bad. No, gaiva is bad. Hashem says about the Baal Gaiva, Ein ani v'hu yachol ladur ba'olam. I can't live in the same world as the Baal Gaiva. But healthy self-esteem is crucial to our success as a person, as a human being, as a Jew, as an Eved Hashem. Lehodia levnei ha'adam gvurasav. It's geschmack. You have to know what you're good at. Let it be known to the sons of men his own strengths. Teach your children. What are they good at? They're good at baking. They're good at bike riding. They're good at hockey. They're good at music. They're good at Torah learning. So compliment them. Build them up. You're so wonderful. Thank you for what you did for me. They're good at painting. They're good at storytelling. Whatever it is. There's a famous author. He wrote a very famous book. And this person left because no one ever said, you know, it's true, you're not good at Gemara with Rashi, but you're really good at music. And it's mamish changed my ashray since I read this on Pesach. And maybe it'll change yours too. When you feel like a shmata, you're not going to accomplish anything in life. Know what your strengths are. Know they came from God. And know what you're good at. So that's an insight from Rabbi Dr. Twersky. It's not brought down in his Sefer on Pirkei Avos, but it relates exactly to what he's saying here. In stressing the importance, I'm still quoting from his commentary on Avos, Visions of Our Fathers, to the Mishnah in the Spotlight. In stressing the importance of self-esteem, I have tried to distinguish between self-esteem and gaiva, vanity. Self-esteem consists of an awareness of one's strengths and talents. Excuse me. Lehodia livnei adam gvurasav. Whereas gaiva is an attitude of superiority over others. Again, in the words of Rabbi Zev Leff, gaiva is I'm important because God made me important. No, gaiva is I'm important, period. Healthy self-esteem is I have talents, abilities, and capabilities. Rabbi Leff says those all the time. I have talents, abilities, and capabilities. I am important because God entrusted me with a tafkid. He made me important. The Chafetz Chaim's anivus, continue with Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. The Chafetz Chaim's anivus is legendary. Yet this gentle man wrote the Mishnah Brura. He established himself as the final authority on halacha. Somebody who does not have healthy self-esteem cannot make such a monumental accomplishment to Judaism. How, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, could he assume so exalted a position if he thought so little of himself? So we have to distinguish between gaiva and self-esteem. The answer is, the Chafetz Chaim was well aware of his vast knowledge of Torah. He knew who he was. Rather than feel he was better than others, however, he was humbled by the thought. Look at the capabilities God gave me. He was humbled by the thought that God granted him extraordinary capacities. It is likely that when he finished the Mishnah Brura, perhaps the Chafetz Chaim said, I have done so little. God gave me so much. I must use my God-given gifts to do much, much more. Which he did. He left us Shmir Salashon, Sefer Nidchei Yisrael, Sefer Ahavas Chasad. Therefore, the Mishnah says, Emor Ma'at, recognize how much God has given you. Recognize your talents, abilities, and capabilities. Recognize how much you can accomplish. Be proud of what Hashem gave you. Emor Ma'at. Say about yourself, Considering how much God gave me, I have only accomplished so little, and more ma'at. Say to yourself, God has given me a wealth of capabilities, but I've done so little vis-a-vis what I can do. That will motivate you, the aseh harbe, to do even more. It's a beautiful pshat. And more ma'at. Look at how much you've accomplished. Instead of saying, wow, I'm done in life, I'm finished, say, God has given me so much. There's so much more I can accomplish. And more ma'at. Say, I've only done so little based on the gifts that God has granted me. That will motivate you, va'aseh harbe, to do a lot. So the key to avodas Hashem is, on the one hand, humility, which must be married to healthy self-esteem. And it's not a stira. It's not a contradiction. They don't contradict each other. Humility goes hand in hand with recognizing who I am, how much I have accomplished, how much more I can still accomplish based on my talents, abilities, capabilities. And more ma'at va'aseh harbe. One pshat, speak less, don't use up all your words, of Rabbi Dr. Tversky, because you're only allowed a certain amount of words. Don't use up all those words. And more ma'at va'aseh harbe, you'll be granted longer life to do more. Second pshat, look at how much God has given you. Look what an amazing human being you are. Lo hodil v'nei adam gvurasav. Hashem is so much, expects so much of you. Va'aseh harbe, that recognition, will lead you to strive to accomplish so much more. First of all, it's crucial for every person, for themselves, no matter your age, your decade, your station in life. And it's so important when it comes to chinuch habanim, to build up our children according to what their strengths are. And more ma'at. Sometimes we spend too much time lecturing and haranguing. Va'aseh harbe. Let the children shine in what they're good at. Give them an outlet. Give them the music if that's what they're good at. Hashem did not give everybody a Gemara cup. I'm not saying you should chas v'shalom. Obviously, Yecharetz is not telling you to close the chumash, close the Gemara, never pick it up again. But we also have to be realistic about God blessed a person with, and what areas they shine in. Lahodiyatz geshmak. Think of it tomorrow morning when you say Ashrei. Lahodiyav neha adam gurasav. It's level of the drash. Let man know what he's good at. The pasuk says, Sefer Vayikra Perek Tes. So I'm just opening up my chumash. It's the beginning of Parsha Shmini. When Aaron, on the eighth day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, which corresponded to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so Aaron was called close to the Mizbeach. So the Pasuk says, Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Moshe said to Aaron, Parsha Shmini, Vayikra Perek Tes, Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Moshe said to Aaron, Krav el HaMizbeach, come close to the Mizbeach, va'aseh es chatascha, va'ezel asecha, bring your chatas offering, bring your ola, you will have kapara for you and for the nation, and do the korban. So Rashi says, Krav el HaMizbeach. Why does Moshe say to Aaron, come close to the Mizbeach? Why doesn't Moshe just say, Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Aseh, you should do, Es Chataschah, your Chatas offering, Ve'esol Asecha, your Ola offering, Ve'chaper Ba'adcha, you have Kapara atonement for yourself, U'ba'ad Ha'am. What is this introduction of Krav el HaMizbeach? Come close to the altar. What was Moshe saying? So Rashi says, Shahaya Aaron Bosh. Aaron was, how would you translate Bosh? Ashamed, bashful, is that a good word for busha? Is bashful a good word? People I could see, yes, no, maybe. No, you don't like that? Let me get art scroll. I don't have, the chumash I'm looking at is just a chumash with Rashi, not with translation. How does art scroll translate the word bosh? Busha. Klal Yisrael, baishanim, rachmanim, and glomli chasadim. Okay, so art scroll says embarrassed. Oh, chanawasim, a jinx. Okay, art scroll says Aaron was embarrassed. Okay. Shahaya Aaron Bosh, Aaron was embarrassed. V'yare lo geshes. He was afraid to come close. Amar lo Moshe, Moshe said to him, Lama ata Bosh? Why are you embarrassed? L'kach nivcharta. For this you have been chosen. So this Rashi is a beautiful illustration of this idea that Rabbi Dr. Tversky draws out from the Mishnah. Why are you embarrassed? You were chosen for this. You can't be al tatzdik harbi. Don't be such an anav that you don't know your own worth. You were chosen. Again, I'm going to repeat the Rashi because then I'm going to tell you a Dvar Torah that my husband told over at the table, Parsha Shemini, in the name of our rabbi, Rabbi Akiva Willig. Rabbi Willig gave such a beautiful, my husband did not remember who Rabbi Willig was quoting, but he gave a tremendous interpretation into this Rashi. Krav al HaMizbech, listen to the Lashon again. Shahaya Aaron Bosh, Aaron was embarrassed. V'yarei L'gashas, he was afraid to come close. This is when he's being inducted. He's now officially the Kohen Gadol. Amar lo Moshe, Moshe said to him, Lama ata bosh, why are you embarrassed? Lekach nivcharta, for this you have been chosen. So the pshat is, he had humility, and he didn't want to come close, and Moshe said, don't be embarrassed, for this you were chosen. But Rabbi Willig said, based on Jeshua Mir, Rabbi Akiva Willig said, Lama ata bosh, lekach nivcharta, because you have a healthy sense of busha, that's why God chose you. Because you're a humble person, you have been chosen for this task. That's who the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to serve him. A person who on the one hand knows his ability, capability, talents, but on the other hand has a healthy sense of humility. So humility and self-esteem are not a stira. Gaivas, I'm important. No, Aaron knew he was important because Hashem made him important. And Moshe was saying to him, you know why you've been chosen? Because of your sense of humility. That's davka why the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you. And Aaron did a wonderful job as a Kohen Gadol. Aaron did the job he was supposed to do as a Kohen Gadol because he recognized it all came from Hashem. So self-esteem and humility go hand in hand. The Chofetz Chaim realized about himself, look how much more I can do because God made my mind so great. And more ma'at, tell yourself, I haven't done enough. Va'ase harbe, if you recognize how much strength God gave you, va'hodil of ne'adam gvurasav, you will tell yourself, I haven't even accomplished half of my tafkid. Va'ase harbe, I could do so much more. Lama atabosh, for your humility, lekach nivcharta, for this you have been chosen. Let's finish the Mishnah. Behevi mekabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos. And you should greet every person with a pleasant countenance. It is noteworthy, Rabbi Dr. Twersky wrote, quoting Rabbi Meir Auerbach in the Imre Bina, that Hillel and Shammai advocate two opposite methodologies. Hillel believed in establishing pleasant interpersonal relationships, which would then lead to Torah learning. The convert comes to him, Shabbos 31a, and says, convert me on the condition that I stand on one foot. What is Hillel's approach to the convert learning the whole Torah? What is hateful to your friend, do not do. What is hateful to you, do not do unto your friend. So Hillel first believed in forging healthy interpersonal relationships, and then Torah would come after. Whereas Shammai begins with Torah first, asei torascha keva, and ends with hevi mekabos kol adam b'sever panim yafos. Two opposing approaches. Hillel and Shammai both agree that Torah and midos tovos are of paramount importance, but Hillel proceeds from midos tovos to Torah, and Shammai proceeds from Torah to midos tovos. Which is the correct path for us in our way? The Talmud has established Hillel's opinion as the authoritative halacha, and Rav Yeruchim Levavit states, it's an error to think Torah leads to midos. To the contrary, derech eretz kadma l'Torah, midos are a prerequisite for Torah. So we know we paskin in most cases, except for, I believe, 18 cases, we paskin like Beis Hillel. So here, too, we paskin like Beis Hillel. We paskin like Beis Hillel, which is first, we need to cultivate pleasant interpersonal relationships if we want to hope to bring anybody to a Torah lifestyle. The Kabbalah states that Shammai's position is valid, but it's not applicable in the pre-Mashiach world. At this point in history, and so many people are subject to greed, lust, and self-indulgence, we must take Hillel's approach. First, we must work on cultivating positive interpersonal relationships if we want to bring people close to Torah. And therefore, halacha l'maiska, we paskin according to Hillel. First, we work on bein adam l'chaveiro. It doesn't mean, please, doesn't mean you should work on your midos and drop Torah, chas v'shalom. It's just a difference in approach between Hillel and Shammai. Shammai gravitates towards first, asei Torah chakeva, and you will come to hevi mekabos kol adam b'sever panim yafos. Whereas Hillel says, work on bringing people closer to Torah, work on the interpersonal relationship which will bring people close to Torah. We must follow the teachings of Hillel to make midos the priority. It does not mean, don't leave the shir and say, chas v'shem michor, it said we should drop the part of Torah learning. No. But we must make Hillel says the midos have to be priority, for otherwise why? We may be subject to distorting Torah to accommodate our self-centered drives. Parafa. We have to work on making midos priority, like Hillel teaches, for otherwise we may be subject to distorting Torah to accommodate our self-centered drives. So I will just end with a story told over by Rabbi Riskin, and the sefer called Listening to God. As we close off this Mishnah Bli Neder, you never know, which ends with, he talks about when he was growing up, Rabbi Riskin. Okay. Rabbi Gottesman was a venerable sage, shiny black kaftan, pure white kaftan on the holidays, beard, strima, okay, in the neighborhood where he grew up. One of the Rebbe's sons-in-law would teach Pirkei Avos during the long summer Shabbos afternoons. Most of the regular congregants were Holocaust survivors who had only recently arrived in America and were beginning to reconstruct their lives. Their spoken language, as well as the language of the class, was Yiddish. Towards the end of the first chapter of Pirkei Avos, Shammai teaches, Heve Makabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos. One of the participants, a warm, smiley, good-natured father of twin girls, Rabbi Riskin calls him Mr. R, quietly added, as the rabbi's son-in-law taught the Mishnah, this teaching saved my life. And then he told the following story. I was born in Poland, right near the German border. Every morning when I would go to synagogue, I would meet, almost face to face, a well-known and fairly well-to-do German citizen who would always begin his day with his walk, no matter what the weather. I would quietly greet him every morning, a good morgen, Herr Gottmacher. He would give me a sometimes disgusted look, condescendingly muttering, Jud, Jew. His chin would nod slightly, and I was never sure, said Mr. R, if his one word reply, Jud, was meant as a return greeting or an anti-Semitic slur. Nevertheless, the dialogue between us continued every morning for at least 2 years. After all, I wanted to be true to Shammai's teaching. Then the Second World War broke out. Our lives were shattered. I was taken to Auschwitz. Life became almost unbearable, but nevertheless, I wanted to live. Indeed, the only thing we lived for was to live another day. I became dreadfully ill with typhus. I couldn't even drag myself to roll call in the morning. And then there was an accursed selection. When we had to march in front of the Nazi messenger of death, he would look over each of us and then bellow, Recht, forced labor, or links, which meant the gas chambers, and certain death. I somehow managed to crawl to the selection line. I unsteadily rose to my feet. I could feel the redness of my feverish face. I could feel my bloodshot eyes, which made it almost impossible for me to see. As I came closer to the moment of truth, I wordlessly recited the Shema Yisrael. And then with double or triple vision, I looked up at my executioner, the Nazi face staring back at me. With my last ounce of strength, I quietly said, A gut morgen, Herr Gottmacher. His impassive face twitched. He looked at me hard. Jud, he replied, and he sent me to life. Shammai Omer, Asei Toras Chakeva, Emor Ma'at, Asei Harbe, Veheve Makabel es Kol Ha'adam. B'sever panim yafos. May our learning be as chus aliyah neshama for Leibish Oizer ben Binyamin, on the occasion of his 10th Yurtzai Ches Iyar, a person who certainly lived with Asei Toras Chakeva and who was taken to his eternal world. With a chumash, think about that. What do you do? With a chumash in his hand. Tei Zichro Baruch, I thank you all for joining our shir this evening. I wish you a wonderful and uplifting Shabbos Kodesh. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov.